Hey everyone, welcome to Homer's Dope Nuts, a weekly Simpsons podcast where I, the Simpsons guy, and my co-host, El Rey, discuss and review every episode of The Simpsons ever made. We break down the episodes, discuss some of the references, and try to connect our younger listeners with the Simpsons family and how life has changed since the inception of the show over 30 years ago. We hope you enjoy it and provide feedback as we're always looking for ways to improve the show. Hi everybody, and welcome back for another episode of Homer's Dope Nuts. As always, I am your host, the Simpsons guy, and I'm joined by El Rey.
Ahoy, everybody.
Good first week?
Yeah, so far so good.
So far so good, yeah, me yeah, too.
My kids are pretty cool.
The only thing I'm going to complain about is they keep putting people in my fifth period. I already got more than 30 people in there. And they messed with my AC.
Yes, they did.
I'm now capable of sweating in my classroom. And I have, because there's so many people in there.
Wow.
I think I'd have stuck 50 people in there last year and I wouldn't have sweated at all.
Yeah, no. Well, you had to take a beanie every day.
Yes, because it was so nice in there.
And it went out again already.
Did it?
Yeah, yesterday on my side.
Oh, damn.
Oh well, but alas, this is what to be expected.
Yeah, I'm gonna get myself a little fan.
Yeah.
Put it on my desk and keep myself cool.
Sounds good. Sounds like fun. I might have to do that too.
All right, that's enough of that. Mm-hmm. I guess we are here to talk about the next episode of the Simpsons saga, which is episode 3 of season 8, titled "The Homer They Fall," and it originally aired November 10th of 1996. We're going to start with the traditional chalkboard and couch gags.
Yes, traditional once again. So
yes,
far.
Yes.
The chalkboard gag, of course, is Bart in detention writing, "I am not my long-lost twin." Okay.
I would have loved to see what preceded
the context of that. Yeah, that would have been pretty cool. And then, of course, the couch gag, we see the family, but we're not in the living room. We are out in the desert somewhere, right? Probably like Arizona, New Mexico.
Southwest somewhere.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And everyone is in cowboy get-ups, right? They're sitting on the couch, but the couch is kicking up and down like a bronco at the rodeo, right? And it gallops away with the family on it. So different.
Yeah, very different. Pretty cool. Yeah. They even had the little horse sound effects.
Yeah, the sound effects.
And we're going to open up this episode at the Springfield Mall. And there's a little crowd, you know, including the Simpson family, that got gathered around a little pop-up show, right? Something like that. It's titled "Memories of Bonanza, the Mall Show," presented by Nostalgia Licensing Corp.
Nice touch.
Yes.
Right, so you hear the right, for those of you that know Bonanza, right, very old show at this point. And it starts with a little flame burning a hole through the curtains, right? So people can come out, the guy walks up there, puts it out. And then we see two, right, Indians walk through the whole stage, right? And it's only them two.
And they don't look young at all.
No, they don't. So there's a very little applause, right?
Yep. And the first Indian goes, "Thank you. I just wish Ben and Hoss and Little Joe and Hop Sing and Sheriff Roy and all of your favorites could be alive today to see this wonderful turnout."
Yeah, not a great turnout.
No.
And the second Indian says, "Well, you know, on the series, we were always trying to kill the Cartwrights." For those of you that know.
Yes, and we hear boos from the audience.
And real awkwardly, he's like, "But it looks like Father Time took care of that for us. Right? Am I right, folks?"
And nobody says a word.
Crickets, right?
Mm-hmm. So one of them motions to get the music going. And they start to dance to the music. And
they're just doing it like a jig up there, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Mm-hmm.
And Bart just says, "Ah, this sucks."
and Marge as they're walking away. Weren't there three Indians last year?
So apparently this is an annual thing.
Yes.
How boring.
And they keep losing cast members to Father Time.
I doubt any of them are still around.
Yeah. Like by now, they're all gone.
They're all gone. Isn't that crazy? They're
yes.
All gone.
Yes.
Everybody was involved with that shit.
Damn.
Woo! And so Homer says, he gets really excited, right? And there's this store called Miscellaneous Etc. Nice.
And I wonder what they sell there. Miscellaneous crap.
Yep. And so Homer says, look, Marge! Very excited because there's a new high-tech gadget store. Mm. And he tells her, you love high-tech gadgets. So he's trying to get her in there.
And Marge's like, no, I don't.
Like, bull, you don't. Come on. And he grabs her right by the arm.
And Marge's like, Homer, please, you're hurting my arm.
And Homer's like, no, I'm not. And he is grabbing her. Like, he is.
Yes. You know. He's eager to get inside. He doesn't care if he hurts Marge to get inside. So then Bart goes, hey, Lise. Check out this space age toothbrush, and he's trying to use it.
Yeah. And Lisa breaks the news to him that that is not a toothbrush, that's a nostril groomer.
And Bart reacts by spitting and coughing all over the place.
He's like rubbing his tongue.
Yeah.
So Marge is looking around, and she sees night vision goggles, right? Mm-hmm. And she also sees a bathroom scale from a Soviet sub,
mm-hmm.
a suede briefcase case, and she's like, why? Right? So yep. She says, anyone who needs this kind of status symbol must have some terrible emotional problems.
And then Homer butts in right at the precise moment that calls for a buffoon, right? Mm-hmm. He goes, Marge, look, the world's best jacket. If I had this, it would show everybody. Show everybody.
And it's a really lame jacket.
Yes, it is. It's just got a bunch of thick patches on it. And
yeah. Not even ironic.
No.
Like it's not.
No.
And so we cut to the counter at the store where the cashier is, and we see our old friend, the comic book guy, and he starts arguing, right? He says he has an unsatisfactory purchase. Right?
Mm-hmm.
And he says, so the guy gives him the attention, and he says, okay, yes, finally, I would like to return your quote unquote ultimate belt.
The salesman goes, I see. Do you have a receipt? Quote, unquote, sir.
That's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
And so he says, no, I do not have a receipt. I want it as a door prize at the Star Trek convention. Although I find their choice of prize highly illogical, as the average Trekker has no use for a medium-sized belt. Ain't that the truth?
Uh-huh. So the salesman goes, whoa, a fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan? You must be a devil with the ladies.
And he goes, hey, when he gets really sad.
Then he goes, gee, I hate to let you down, Casanova, but no receipt, no return. And he walks away.
So Bart tells him, I'll give you $4 for it.
And the comic book guy just kind of sighs and he sells him the belt. And he's like, very well, I must return back to my comic book store. Where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
So he got his comeuppance there.
Yes, he did.
And the other thing is, he's trying to, like, be, what is it? I guess they prefer Trekker.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
No, Trekkie.
Trekkie.
Right? Uh-huh. Trekkies. No, they prefer Trekker.
No, Trekkie.
You're Trekkies.
Trekkies, yes.
I love hate you all.
Speaking of love and hate. Remember that annoying song? Star Trekking Across the Universe.
No.
Oh my God, that was annoying.
No, I don't want to remember that at all.
Woo! Well, anyway, let's
get
this.
So Bart has the belt now, right? Uh-huh. So he has the belt, yes. And we cut to Springfield Elementary. And he's showing off his belt, right, to his friends. So Milhouse is like, wow, I bet if God wore pants, he'd have a belt like that.
Oh, poor Milhouse. But Bart is busy showing off all of the features of its tactical pants retaining system. He shows him a compass, matches, a whistle, saw, panic button, squirrel snare, radon / lie detector, a phygmomanometer, as he says,
yep.
And he says, and some acute turn signals. And you know, just like a car, you know, it's a little arrow pointing to the side.
He's got blinkers on his ass. It's hilarious.
Uh huh.
And so Yeah, so he shows them, right? But everybody runs away.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that moment, Jimbo, Dolph, and Curdy walk up to Bart, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Jimbo says, "Hey, Simpson, want to trade belts?"
Bart's like, "Well, not exactly. Because yours is just a piece of extension cord."
And they do a close-up, right? Mm-hmm. And it indeed is a piece of extension cord.
Mm-hmm.
And Curdy's like, "Hey, dude, he's ragging on your cord."
And Jimbo goes, "Get him!"
Yep, so they jump at him. But Bart breaks away and starts running down the hall, right?
Mm-hmm.
As the hall monitor, Janie, gets mad at him for running.
Yeah.
So Bart has this brilliant idea as he's running down the hall. He says, "Time for a little evasive action," right? And he presses the turn signal on his belt that says he's going to go left.
Yep.
And so he kind of turns to the left, right? And at the last second, he goes to the right. And of course, the three dumb bullies keep going left.
Yes.
Just like Looney Tunes.
Mm-hmm. And of course, Bart, still alive and unbeaten, he hides behind a little, what do you call
locker.
It? Yeah, a little locker, right? He hides behind a little locker and he's like, he looks at his belt and he presses the help button on his belt. And all we hear, what do we hear?
Just the bell going, "Help! Help! Help! Help!" Which, of course, gives away where he is. And he's spotted by
the bullies, yes. Right? And, of course, what does he do next?
Well, he's going to try to use his belt again. He's like, "I was hoping it would have come to this, but you guys asked for it. And there's a button that says emergency use only." Now, I don't know what he thinks it's going to be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he presses the button, and there is a little bit of a explosion.
Yep.
And a little projectile flies into the air, pops, and it's a little parachute with a sign that says, "Call the police," right?
Yep. And Bart just looks at them. He's like, "Can't you read? Call the police!"
Then they proceed to surround him and they beat the snot out of him.
Yes, they do.
They go to town on Bart. So he shows up at home. He's all welted up. He's got a black eye, right?
His shirt's torn up.
Yeah. And Homer's there eating a pie.
Mm-hmm. So as he's walking past, he goes, "Hey, Dad."
Homer's like, "Looking good, son." And then he stops him. He's like, "Hey, what happened to your belt?"
He's not even worried about what happened to his son's face.
No, no, what happened to your belt?
So Bart tells him what happened and he got beat up, right? And Homer goes, "Son, there's only one thing punks like that understand.
Yep.
Squealing. You've got to squeal to every teacher and every grown-up you can find. Coming to me was a good start."
So there's Homer with his advice.
Yes.
And Bart's just like, "But then they'll just beat me up even worse.
And Homer's like, "Yes, they are a clever bunch. I know. I'll squeal for you to their parents."
And we cut to later that day, and we see Jimbo's dad punching Homer in the face, like, "That's for telling me how to raise my lousy kid."
And then we see Dolph's dad, and he punches him in the gut. "And this is for my crummy life I've had to live."
And so the thing is that Homer is just bouncing around, right, getting hit by all these guys. And he's still trying to talk to them.
Yeah, it's like the punches aren't affecting him at all.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so at some point, they're like, "Hey, something's wrong with this guy. He's not falling down," right? Curdy's dad says.
Uh-huh. So then we hear a pump action shotgun, and we see Mo pointing them straight at them. He goes, "Fun's over, fellas. If you're going to beat up my best friend in my bar, there's a 2-drink minimum." And they only bought one beer right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And so they back away, right, out of Moe's, because they're freaked out by Homer. And now, of course, they're freaked out by the shotgun.
Uh-huh.
And Moe's helping Homer out, right? He's like, "I've never seen anybody stand up to that kind of punishment. You took a 3-man pounding and you didn't even fall down."
And Homer goes, "Big deal. I didn't even get my kid's belt back. The only thing a loser like me is good for is taking beatings."
He says, "There you go. That's the spirit." He says, "Homer, I've seen prize fighters that couldn't take a punch half as good as you. You know? And then he thinks about it, like, boxing maybe, you know, is right up your alley.
What kind of friend is Mo?
I don't know, man.
Homer's fat and out of shape. He really has no athletic ability, and he's encouraging him to go into prize fighting.
Yep.
And Homer goes, really?
Yes, and Mo's like, oh, please, it's the good life, Homer. Some of these boxers, they eat steak and lobster and salad bar all in a single meal.
Dressing?
Their choice.
So, of course, he agrees to it, right? But Mo has to put Homer to a little test to see if he'll actually be able to do this, right? He's like, are you man enough to test every one of your limits?
Yes.
Are you man enough to throw a punch should the opportunity arise?
Yes.
Are you man enough to give me 60% cut?
Yes.
I'll take it.
Woohoo! Man, Mo's just sleazy right there.
Yes, he's swindling Homer so bad. So next thing we know, we see Mo acting as Homer's manager, right?
Yep.
And he wants him to have complete faith in him, right? And he brings him into a special little room in his bar.
Yes, which is the women's bathroom.
Yes.
Right? Homer's like, wow, I've never been in here before.
And he goes, since there haven't been any ladies in Moe's since 1979, they turned it into a little private office, right?
Yes.
And he's got his boxing gloves there, a desk, posters and pictures of Mo as a young boxer.
And Homer's like, you used to be a boxer just like me? Apparently he's a boxer already.
Yes. And Mo's like, yep. They called me Kid Gorgeous. Later on, it was Kid Presentable. Then Kid Gruesome. And finally, Kid Mo.
Right. And so... Homer, like, picks up this nasty pan. He's like, what's this?
And Mo's like, oh, that's my old spit bucket. Yeah, I've been meaning to empty that out. How gross is this?
And you can hear, they put the sound effect of it, like, swooshing.
Yeah, it was, like, green stuff on there.
Nasty.
Mm-hmm.
Yuck. And so Homer looks at this one picture, right? And Mo is standing beside this very tall, very big black man. In glasses and odd hair, standing up, right?
Kind of like a certain Don King.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But here, he's got a different name.
Yes.
Yes, of course, right? So Homer's like, you know Lucius Sweet? He's one of the biggest names in boxing. He's exactly as rich and as famous as Don King, and he looks just like him, too. What a great joke by the writers.
Yes. Put him in there without putting him in there so you don't have to give him money. So Mo goes, yeah, he was my manager. Back when I was gorgeous, everybody wanted a piece of me. But somehow, I just never made it to the big time.
And then Homer's like, why not?
Because I got knocked out 40 times in a row, plus the politics. You know, it's all politics.
And Homer gets upset and says, lousy Democrats. Wrong kind of politics, but...
Yeah.
That was funny.
Yes, it was.
I'm trying to think of the episode where he goes, those damn Democrats. He does that one, too.
Yeah. I mean, you got to give it to the writers. They make fun of themselves.
They make fun of themselves.
Yeah. All right. So, next thing we know, we're at Simpson's house at the breakfast table, and everybody's talking about Homer's latest venture.
Marge is upset.
Yep.
She says, Homer, of all the crazy ideas you've had, this one ranks somewhere in the middle. Wow.
Yes. She goes, before you even consider this, I insist you consult a doctor.
Homer says, no problemo. He pecks her on the cheek and he walks off.
A competent doctor.
And off screen you hear, don't!
So I guess he was planning on seeing Dr. Nick?
Yes, I'm sure he was.
Mm-hmm. And next thing you know, we're at Dr. Hibbert's office and... He's examining Homer, right? Dr. Hibbert goes, well, sir, you more than meet every one of this state's requirements to box, wrestle, or be shot out of a cannon.
And Marge, of course, is not happy about this, right? It's like, that's what we get for living in a state founded by circus freaks. Wow.
Yep. So next thing we know, Dr. Hibbert is showing everybody an x-ray of Homer's head. He goes, you have an absolutely unique genetic condition known as Homer Simpson syndrome.
And Homer's like, oh, why me?
You know, Dr. Hibbert, you know, it's not that bad, right? He's trying to make him feel better. He says, your brain is cushioned by a layer of fluid 1/8 of an inch thicker than normal. And it acts like a football helmet.
Yep. Then we get to, I think, one of your favorite parts ever.
Yes.
Right? And so he says, why, I could wallop you all day with this surgical 2x4 without ever knocking you down. And he rips open this package, yes, right? And he pulls the medical 2x4 out of it. And he's about to hit him, and he says, but I have other points.
And he walks off. Why peel it open?
I know.
By the way, what do you use that? How do you use that surgical
2x4? Yeah.
You don't have any anesthesia? You need something to whack
I guess so. I don't know.
Unconscious?
A sterile 2x4.
Yes. So oh, funny. My God. Oh, I am trying to think of a nice little meme for that.
Right?
Yes. All right. So next thing we know, we see Homer wearing boxing trunks, and he's practicing with Mo in a ring in the middle of nowhere, right? Mo's like, all right, Homer. Let's see the left.
And right before Homer is going to throw the punch, a little fly lands on the mitt, right? Mm-hmm. That Mo's holding. Homer punches it, and gets the fly.
Yes, it does.
And then the fly is still there and it flies away.
Yes.
So and Homer's got pillow hands.
Yeah, he's like, okay, let's see the right.
And we cut back to Homer and he's already leaning back on the ropes. Like, just a second.
And Mo's like, when you're ready.
And he's like, all right. I'm ready. He starts to get up. And he gets back down. He goes, wait a minute. wait. Just a sec. He's dying already.
From one punch, right?
Wow.
And, you know, throwing punches will wear you out.
Yes.
But you have to throw multiple.
Yeah.
And near your top max strength, mm-hmm, in order for that to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Homer,
not
like,
one.
Yeah.
Not
like
one.
You said, Homer has pillow hands.
He's got pillow.
So Mo goes, okay, punching isn't your thing. That's okay. You're not that kind of fighter. What you're going to do is stand there while your opponent gets exhausted from over-punching.
Then I can just push him over.
That's right. And if the ref's not looking, you can kick him a couple of times.
No, it's so funny because, yes, that is a thing. There are fighters that are not that kind of fighters, and they're going to knock someone out in one punch.
Yeah.
But they still know how to fight.
Yes.
That's the point.
Yes.
Maybe they throw 5 or 6 very fast.
Maybe Floyd Mayweather.
Exactly. He ain't going to knock you out with one shot, but he'll hit you with 20 of them.
Yep.
There you go. But no, not Homer, okay? And so we cut to Mo riding a moped and Homer jogging, right, in sweats. Right? And Mo's trying to inspire him. Like, who are you going to knock down?
No one.
When are you going to fight back?
Never.
What are you going to do?
Nothing.
That's my boy. Oh, man.
So next thing you know, they're staging a fight at Moe's bar.
Yeah, we see a little marquee, a little sign outside Moe.
Uh-huh. And Barney goes, man, you'd never get me into a ring. Boxing causes brain damage. And next thing you know, you see him drinking a container of varnish.
Yeah, those old metal ones.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Do those things have alcohol?
I don't know, but I'm pretty sure you die if you drink that.
Yeah.
That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, we have to mention, the ring does look cool inside the bar.
Like, it does, yes.
The ring inside Moe's. And so we cut back to Mo and Homer, and Mo's there trying to get him ready, right? He's in the office. He's trying to pump him up. He's like, okay, you're fighting a guy named Boxcar Bob.
And Homer goes, brawled his way up from the boxcars, did he?
Like, no, not yet. He still lives there at the train yard. But he's a hungry young fighter. In fact, he's actually fighting for a sandwich.
This is another one of my favorite lines.
That's a great line.
Yep. Yeah. He's a hungry young fighter. He's actually fighting for a sandwich.
Yeah, he's real hungry.
Uh-huh.
And at that, you know, right then, Mo reaches around and he pulls these old boxing gloves off the wall. He gets the dust off of them and he gives them to Homer. I want you to have my lucky mitts. I hope you do better with them than I did.
And Homer's kind of happy, right? He's like, gee, thanks, Mo. What's this?
And then he's like, oh, and there's a barbed wire. And we're like, oh, that's the barbed wire. We called that the stinger. They don't let you use that no more. Mo must have been boxing in some real underground stuff early in his career.
Remember back, we weren't alive for this, but fights back in the 20s and the 30s, they'd go on for
40-some rounds.
Yeah. That's crazy. That's insane. Yes. Imagine the damage those guys took.
People used to die all the time.
Yeah. Crazy. So, anyway, Mo goes, now, no matter how much he hits you, you don't do nothing, okay? You don't want to get drawn into a boxing match here.
And so Boxcar Bob, right? You see him, he takes his coat off, all ratty coat.
Uh-huh.
And he puts his traveling stick with the thing tied to it.
Uh-huh.
And he, gets his gloves ready and he's ready to go. And he starts going at Homer, right? Just boom, 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 back and forth.
And Lenny's watching this. He goes, man, that tramp's got the energy of a hobo.
Carl's like, yeah, he never stops punching, except to check out his bindle. And he does after every couple of punches. He's checking out his little
bindle. To make sure nobody stole his stuff.
Yep.
So, we get the more rounds pass by, right? And Boxcar Bob has become completely exhausted. He can't raise his arms anymore. Yep. He can't punch anymore. So this is when Mo warns Homer that this is the right time.
Like, okay, Homer, he's tired, right?
Uh-huh.
And so Homer just pushes him over, right? And he's dead tired. He hits the canvas, and the crowd cheers.
Mm-hmm. And Mo tells Homer that he's proud of him.
Yep.
Next thing you know,
we see a little montage of fights.
Uh-huh. It's November 3rd, and Homer is taking blows from Boxcar Fred.
Yeah. Another
hobo, huh? And at this time, Homer is ranked 7th in the semi-pro boxer circuit of the area. So Mo keeps counting more and more cash, and he gives Homer his cash. What does Homer do with his first?
Oh, he goes to the car wash, and he gets the premium wax.
He's making a fortune.
So the next fight, Boxcar Ira is taken out by Homer, right?
Mm-hmm.
He has three more boxcar opponents this show, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see his washes after every fight getting better, right? Like the executive wash, the super executive wash.
The ultimate wash.
Yeah. And so that's how he's moving up in the world, right? Yeah. He's got like cigars and stuff like that too. And Mo is in his office, right? I love what he did with this. They have a four-year courtesy machine in there with the feminine products.
Yes, yes.
Right, so he turns the knob on it, but a cigar pops out. I was like, that's cool.
That's gangster.
That's hilarious. Uh-huh. Right? And so he gets his cigar, and he's puts it in his mouth, right? And he's looking for his lighter, and he can't find it. And just then, a hand reaches in with a light.
Mm-hmm. And he looks up. And he sees this tall black dude with tall hair.
Yep.
It's Lucius Sweet.
Yes, in his tuxedo.
Uh-huh. He goes, hey, Mo, delightful to see you again.
Mo's shocked. He's like, hey, Lucius, right? What's a glitterati like you doing in my dump? I thought you were managing the champ.
And Lucius goes, yes, managing Dredrick has been my highest priority, even though he is temporarily incarcerated for pushing his mother down the stairs. But with this impending release, I've been strategizing for his glorious return to the shores of Fistiana.
What?
His comeback fight,
Yeah.
You know, boxing.
Look, they look real stupid.
Uh-huh.
And so, Will's like, man, I pity the guy who's going to donate his body for that one.
Yep.
And Tatum says, like, well, word is you have a boxer, right, that could take a beating.
You have a up-and-coming pugilist.
Yeah.
Right? And that causes the cigar to fall out of Moe's mouth.
He's like, what is that? Homer? You want Homer to fight Dredrick Tatum?
And Lucia says, I only need an opponent an opponent that'll last three rounds. He goes, people are getting tired of Dredrick knocking him out before they've even had a chance to get drunk.
Yeah, which was happening in Tyson fights for a long time.
Yes, it was.
And what does he say? I love what he says about Homer. He's like, yeah, but Homer's no boxer. He's just a freak.
he's just a freak. He's not going to be able to do anything, right?
Yeah.
But, you know, he entices him with money.
Yeah. His last shot at the big time.
Yep. Right? Uh-huh.
And so we cut to that night, and we're on the roof of Moe's.
Uh-huh.
Right? We haven't been here since, what, the B-sharps?
B-sharps.
And Moe's up there sitting with Homer, and Moe tells him, I gotta be honest with you, Homer. I didn't bring you up here to show you my new tar paper.
And Homer's like, you didn't?
Says, no, Homer, how would you like to be heavyweight champion of the world?
And Homer's like, oh, sure.
He's like, okay, all you got to do is fight Dredrick Tatum. It's this Saturday. Here's your parking pass.
And Homer gets his parking pass. Ooh, general. Couldn't even get him a VIP parking.
So, for those of you that don't know, Dredrick Tatum is the very obvious reference to
Mike Tyson.
Yes, prime Mike Tyson. So he talks like him, he looks like him,
built like him
and everything, incarcerated like he was too at the time.
Yep.
You know, I've always wondered how many people he beat up in prison. If anyone had the stupidity to test
to him. Walk up to him. I would hope they would be smart enough to know they can't mess with an animal like that.
Yeah, I don't know, man. That's a ferocious dude. I
had Jesus Christ.
Especially
man.
At that time. That's like, wow. You have to be more than one dude.
Though. Yeah, I mean, I guess I'd let him punch me, but it would cost him millions of dollars. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, no thank you. I don't want that punch.
No thank you. Mm-mm. And so we cut to the Springfield Penitentiary, right?
Where yes.
There's a riot going on, right? There's dudes choking out guards and like lighting fires and all kinds of stuff. We cut to the champ sitting in his cell eating jello. Right?
Mm-hmm.
What does he do?
He goes, hey, come on, guys, shut up.
And everybody just stops and starts apologizing. The guards, the prisoners, like, sorry, champ, we didn't know you were there. Everyone just goes back into their cells and stuff.
Yeah, even the guards slink away.
Yeah.
So I guess we know who ran that prison.
Yep. So we cut to, I'm guessing it's the next day or something like that, and we see Dredrick Tatum at a desk with Lucius, right? And they are basically having a press conference.
Mm-hmm.
And so the press is like, champ, do you feel remorse for your crime?
And Dredrick goes, oh, yes, believe me, my God. If I could turn back the clock on my mother's stair pushing, I would certainly reconsider it.
And then we get to one of my favorite parts. And so the next reporter says, Dredrick, what do you think of Homer Simpson?
I think he's a good man. I like him. I got nothing against him. But I'm definitely going to make orphans of his children.
You know, they do have a mother, champ.
Yes, but I would imagine that she would die from grief.
I love that part. That's so cold. Man.
So Lucius steps in and goes, thank you. But the champs has no time for further queries. This parole hearing is over.
Oh, my goodness. And they zoom out, and it is indeed a parole hearing.
Yes.
Right? And one guy's all upset, like, I want to know what it was like in prison. My God. That's such a great scene.
Yes, but I actually believe something like that could happen.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. And so we cut back to the Simpsons' house. We're at the breakfast table, right? And Homer is having some coffee, right? And Marge is reading the newspaper, and it's a headline, right?
Uh-huh.
It's like, what? I forgot what the headline was, but it's like this, he's going to beat up a local man or something like that. And Marge looks up from the newspaper and says, Homer, why are they saying you're going to fight Dredrick Tatum?
And Homer kind of like gulps the coffee down. I was going to surprise you, but happy anniversary, baby.
And Marge is very upset. I mean, as little as Marge knows about this, I'm sure.
She knows that Homer's going to get his ass kicked.
Yes.
All right. Homer goes, I'll make a fortune for one night's work. We can all have the better things we've always dreamed of. A snooty butler, carpeted carports, those blue cupcakes they sell sometimes.
Marge's like, but you'll get killed.
Marge, will you please let me finish? Plug in room deodorizers, front and rear spoilers for a car.
And so Lisa gets in there and says, Mom's right, Dad. The odds against you winning are 1,000 to 1.
And Homer goes, whoa, I don't think it's that unlikely.
She gives her the newspaper and says, those are the odds that they're giving in Vegas right now.
And Homer goes, all right. I think we've heard just about enough from Mr. Newspaper today. He throws it away. Homer is eager to take that beating. Yes.
And so later that day, we see Bart and Grandpa and Maggie, right, watching a promo for Homer's fight.
Uh-huh.
Right? And it's huge. Draymond Tatum coming out of his cell. And so I love the hype on this. So the announcer says, society put away Draymond Tatum for his brutal crime. But he's paid his debt. And now he's going to get revenge on Homer Simpson. They just throw Homer there, right? And they show this, like, big fist just come into the frame.
Yeah, while Homer's staring blankly away.
Mm-hmm. And so we see it explode, right? Like, all that's going on. And so we Tatum versus Simpson. Payback.
And Abe and Bart both go, yay!
Yep. And Bart's happy. He's with the woohoo. And even Abe's happy. He's like, he tells Maggie, that's your daddy.
oh my god. Goodness.
Now, you know what? I've never looked for it, and I need to. They have to sell the fight merch somewhere online.
Oh.
I need that shirt of the Homer Simpson and the glove coming into the frame. Yeah, I need that, man. I need that in my life.
I guess I'll be looking on Amazon for that.
Yep. And so we cut to the night of the fight at the Springfield Coliseum. Right, so they got all the fans lined up, right? And what are the Coliseum requirements? You have to dress
just tightly. Yes. Okay.
And so we see the T-shirt peddlers, all that stuff, right? Man, I really need to find that shirt. And the guys there are selling them T-shirts. Get your T-shirts. Tell them where you've been by buying a T-shirt.
So we then cut to the locker room, and Bart is helping Homer prepare. He goes, "You'll be okay, Dad. Just make sure he hits you an even number of times so you don't end up with amnesia."
That is not how that works, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, no.
I don't know where he got that. And we cut to the hallway of the locker rooms, right? And Moe's just walking back and forth with a bunch of cigarettes, right? You can tell he's been smoking like a chimney. And Marge shows up, right? She says, "Moe, I'm so glad I found you. Please promise me you won't let Homer get hurt."
Moe's like, hey, I'm not the villain here, okay? If Homer gets killed in the rain tonight, it's because of your negative attitude. There, I said it.
And I like the way he like turns around and crosses his arms about it, too.
Uh-huh.
Oh, man.
Being all dramatic.
And so Marge is, no. She's like, no, you're going to listen to me. If Homer gets in trouble, you're going to throw in this towel. All right? And she says, promise me.
And Moe promises, but he's not too happy. So Marge leaves, and he throws the towel into the trash bin. Yeah.
And so we cut to inside the arena. The lights are going off everywhere, and we do have the actual Michael Buffer playing himself.
Yes,
right? The legend that is.
And they managed to make his little character surprisingly like him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. And so he starts introducing these celebrities that are in the crowd, right? He's like, okay, we have the star of McBain, action films, and feature player in the Hollywood prostitution scandal, Rainier Wolfcastle.
And you hear me?
And then he says, TV anchorman at Springfield Institution, Mr. Kent Brockman.
And Brockman gets up and waves, but the audience boos and throws
crap at him. Yeah, they just throw stuff at him and everything. And he laughs and he says, this just in. Go to hell. And he's dressed all lame, too.
Yeah.
Oh,
God. Well, at least he followed the dress code.
Yeah, tackling. Mm-hmm. And he introduces then, from the world of organized crime, say hello to Anthony Fat Tony D'Amico.
And, of course,
thunderous applause. Uh-huh. Yeah. And then, of course, he says, now, the ruiner of events worldwide, title fights, the Super Bowl, and the Nixon funeral, ladies and gentlemen, the Fan Man.
Now, for those of you who don't know who the Fan Man was.
Tell the people. Tell the youngins.
He's a dude that would parachute into these events, but strapped on his back was a big-ass fan. The fan was there to push him exactly where he wanted to go. It didn't always work out for him. A lot of the times, he did cause havoc.
Yeah.
Remember the time he actually did that in the boxing match?
Yeah, he almost made it into the ring, too. He, like, foot got caught on the top rope and he fell backwards.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I forgot who was fighting. But yeah, that's I think it was like a Holyfield fight or something big. It was a big fight.
It was a big fight, yeah.
And yeah, he did it at other places, too, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that guy... Man, there was a lot of those people. For those of you that don't know, there used to be people that, like, that was their thing to interrupt sporting events.
Morgana, the Kissing Bandit.
The Kissing Bandit, I was about to say that. Yeah, mm-hmm. She would just run onto the field and kiss whoever thought she was cute.
Yes. But the thing about Morgana, the Kissing Bandit, it was she had great big assets.
Yes.
And I don't know how security never caught her because she didn't run very fast.
But yeah, that's one of those things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, the Fan Man comes in his jumpsuit, right? And as he's dropping down into the audience, as one of his fans catches Krusty's hair,
yep.
Buzzes it off, and Krusty's upset.
Yeah, he goes, oh, cripes, now I got to comb this side over. And does a little comb over.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
Yep.
And so we cut to the behind the doors of the walkway, and Moe's having his last talk with him. He's like, all right, Homer, I'm not going to lie to you. There's a good chance you can beat Tatum. It is, but you got to visualize how you're going to win, okay?
Homer's like, gotcha. And he starts dreaming about how he's going to win.
And then we hear Buffer, a congenital heart defect, has apparently killed Tatum's moment, killed Tatum moments before he could step into the ring. And we see, like, Homer's hand being raised.
Yep.
That's supposed to be Mills Lane, right?
The ref.
Yeah, the legendary Mills Lane.
That old band.
That guy was awesome.
Uh-huh. So then we hear Buffer introducing Dredrick back into decent society. The audience cheers as he's walking by, but Tatum is not paying attention to any of that, is he?
He's focused.
Yeah, because you remember how Tyson would walk in?
Yeah.
No music.
Nothing.
He would just walk in.
He was already sweating.
Uh-huh.
Like,
he had this really crappy robe on.
Yeah. Black.
Yeah.
Just black shorts, black shoes.
Yeah, he wasn't about that show that something like Hector Macho Camacho.
Yeah, he'd have his name all glittered in his trunks or anything like that. No.
He was in there for business.
That man was in there to destroy somebody.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Tatum walks past everybody down the walkway with all of his hangers-ons, right? And hip-hop rap music playing behind him. And he finally gets into the ring. And he shows off his Mr. Armageddon robe.
And so Buffer keeps going and says, to challenge the irresistible force of Tatum, we have the immovable object. He's been called the Brickhead House and is also known as the Southern Dandy, Homer Simpson. And I love Homer's walkout song.
Why can't we be friends? Why can't we be friends?
Oh, that is
geez.
So good. Classic moment.
Oh,
right?
God.
And Moe's with him, and so is Abe, right?
Wait. What's up with the Southern Dandy?
I don't know.
Is it Southpaw, maybe?
I don't know. Is Homer that dandy? No.
A lot of the Simpsons characters are.
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but I love his walkout song. It's so good. And so he tries to get into the ring. They have to, like, push him in there.
Yeah, he couldn't get himself up there, right? And Lucius goes, your boy looks a little soft, Mo. Do you remember our arrangements?
Mo says, yeah, don't worry. I'll get you three rounds, right?
And Lucia goes, stupendous. Because if he goes down before that bell ring, your future's gone with him.
I'm like, okie dokie, future down the crapper. Gotcha. And I love Buffer here. Due to popular demand, we will forego our national anthem. Wow.
Yep.
That's actually creeping up.
Yeah, it's bound to happen eventually.
It's creeping up. Yeah.
So the bell goes off immediately, right? And Tatum and Homer go toward the middle of the ring.
And so Homer's like, okay, Homer, nothing to be worried about. Just and boom, he gets punched, right? You just hear, oof.
And then we pan out back into row double D. We see both Lisa and Bart watching. Bart goes, wow, I've never seen Dad hit somebody like that before.
And Lisa says, what are you talking about?
Isn't Dad the one in the black trunks?
And Lisa goes, no.
Uh-oh.
And we see Marge, she's behind a pillar. She can't even see it. She's like, what am I missing? What?
Why she bought those seats, I'll never know.
Yep.
And then we hear Michael Buffer. And there's Tatum showboating for the crowd.
Right, and he's like doing the windmill with his arm, punching Homer silly. And Bull looks up at the clock, and it's been 6 seconds.
Yep.
Right? And then everybody tells him, like, only 400 and something more seconds, I don't know.
Yeah, just hang in there, Homer.
Yep.
And, of course, Dreddick Tatum is not taking Homer seriously at all. So he takes a break to talk to Charlie Sheen, who's ringside, right? And the ref has to break him up and tell him he's got to fight.
Yep. And so he goes back in there and he just, you know, beats on Homer again, right? And we see Homer's vision is super blurred and everything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we see this curly blue mass of hair in the crowd, right? And you hear Marge say, Homer! Homer, he's not going to get tired! You got to hit him back! Hit him back!
And Homer's like, that cactus is right.
That's a great moment in the whole series. Oh God. Right there.
That cactus is right.
Yeah.
Oh, God. It is such a good line. Because Marge's hair does kind of does look like a cactus.
That cactus is right.
So he realizes he's got only one chance, and that's to knock Tatum out. So he winds up. He throws a right, and he completely misses everything.
And then Tatum just counterpunches him bad. And you hear him go like, no! And he gets hit bad.
And we hear Mo, hang in there, Homer. You only got 40 more seconds to go.
And he tells Abe, he's getting a second win.
And Abe's like, no, he's getting killed.
They channeled Rocky in that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They did.
He's getting killed. No, he's getting mad. And so Mo can't bear to watch, and he takes off. Right? He just runs through the crowd. And you hear the whole crowd cheering him on, right? It's Krusty, Professor Frank, Patty and Selma, Mr. Burns, Smithers, Lucius, Kent, everybody. Mm-hmm. Right?
And Marge is like, somebody stop the fight. Where's the doctor?
And we see Dr. Nick, right? Saying, get him!
So Tatum steps back. He builds up what's going to be the final punch.
Yeah.
And he swings at Homer.
And right when the punch is going to hit Homer, he gets lifted into the air. Because Mo has stolen the Fan Man's fan and is now taking him out of the ring.
And we hear, oh my God, Simpsons manager is flown into the ring and is airlifting him out. Ladies and gentlemen, whatever dignity remained in boxing is literally flying out the window.
What a great line.
Yes. There's not a lot of dignity left back in there, no.
What dignity is
it's so on? Crooked.
It's bad.
Yes.
It's bad. And everybody knows it. That's the thing.
Mm-hmm.
It's just accepted. Ugh. Anyway, and so Homer looks up and he's like, are you an angel?
And Mo goes, yes, Homer, I'm an angel. All of us angels wear Ferris slacks.
And Homer says, but you stopped the fight. Don't everyone be mad at you?
Mo goes, let him be mad. The only thing that matters to me is you're safe.
And then as he does that, he bumps Homer into like a beam, right? Bonk! Like, no!
And Mo goes, sorry.
So Mo flies him out, right? He lands outside in the parking lot. There's this huge crowd, right? And Dredrick Tatum goes up to him and says, Homer, your manager obviously loves you very much. Lucius, would you do the set for me?
And then she goes, absolutely, I would. Now get in the van.
Tatum walks away all sad, right? You know what? Hey, you gotta give Don King his blame in a lot of the downfall of Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I'm glad he rose back up without
him. Yep.
Gee, wow.
Yeah, well, I guess we've finally gotten rid of him mostly.
Yeah, I don't really see him anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Lucius is upset now, right? He tells him, you couldn't even give me one lousy round, Mo. You'll always be a loser. Now take your check for $100,000 and get out of my sight.
He goes, I don't need your stinking money. And he folds the check up and he puts it in his pocket.
Yeah. Hey, 40 grand of that's supposed to be Homer's.
Yes. Because he only takes 60%, yeah. Not 100%. So the whole family gathers around Homer. Marge's like, oh, homie, are you okay?
Homer's in pain, right? He's like, I can't remember where we parked.
And Marge's like, that's all right. We'll just wait till everyone leaves.
And Marge says, I got your tooth, Dad, right? And he gives it to him. And
he puts it in his mouth. He tries switching it around to see where it'll fit. And he spits it back out. He's like, not mine.
That's so gross.
Oh, God, yeah.
That is so gross.
So Mo pours the cord on his propeller, and he flies away again, right? He says he's going nowhere in particular, but he needs time to think.
And we see the actual fan man chasing him, right? Like, hey, you have my fan. Like, he's super pissed.
Yep, and
I do like the outro to this one, though, the credits.
Oh, yeah.
It's all these scenes of Mo saving people in random places of the world, like out of quicksand and from burning buildings and stuff. Like
all with the fan.
Yeah, all with the fan.
Uh-huh.
And it's like got all the...
Yeah.
It's super cool.
I guess Mo had a good streak there for a while.
Yeah. Well, remember, Mo is... He does have a good heart. He reads to the orphans and all that stuff.
Yes, he does. He does that. So I guess when he's not trying to kill himself, he's actually trying to help people.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, of course, this is how we end the episode.
Yeah.
So on a scale of 1 to 5 donuts, what would you give this
one? This is 5, of course.
5 donut episode.
Since you asked me to be on this show with you, I have been waiting to do this episode. This is one of the ones I've been waiting to do.
Oh, it is a classic.
It is. Holds up. It's still funny.
I guess we got to bask in this golden age of The Simpsons while we can.
Yes, we
do. Because it doesn't last forever.
No, nothing good does. Mm-hmm. But yes, this is such a great episode. It's such a classic episode. Man, at the time it was just so current.
Yeah.
And because of that, it's still funny.
Mm-hmm. I still remember Mike getting sentenced to prison.
Yep.
Hearing reports about him every now and then. Mm-hmm. And then when they released him, man, it was a big deal.
You know, that little whole black and white montage of Homer fighting on the amateur circuit.
Mm-hmm.
There's a joke in there on the, whatever the association's called, it's like ass something. I forgot what it said, but that's supposed to be a play on that.
Yeah.
I love how they do all the black and white scenes, and one of them is like when Ollie's knocking out a Sonny Liston, right? One of those. Super cool.
Yeah. Oh, God, now it's going to bother me. I'm going to have to go see that episode. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah. It's something ass.
As they were going up the ranks of the Boxing Association. God. Yeah. I'm going to have to look that one up. Anything else you'd like to mention about this particular episode?
Just the writing's great. All the little subplot getting up to it with the comic book guy and the Bonanza reunion and all that. It's just great.
Right? And just timing. The timing of them is great. Yeah. Like this, a superb job by the writers.
Yeah.
Lousy Democrats.
we see the bully's dads. It's just hilarious. Yeah.
And you can tell whose dad they were.
I know,
they
look right? Exactly super like the funny. Kids. Oh, that's so good. Mo's Office, the Legend of Mo's Office, but I don't think we ever see it again.
No.
As far as I can remember.
I don't think so. Yeah. I think we do actually see a lady in there, though. Mm-hmm. Not the ladies' room, but we do see
ladies yes, in there. Yes, yes, yes. But that's... No, it's not a clip show.
No.
It's a mini episode show.
Yes, yes.
Okay, yeah.
All right. So anything else you'd like to mention before we sign off for the week?
This is an absolute classic, guys. Again, we say this every now and then, that if you're ever trying to get someone into The Simpsons or certain episodes, this is one of them. This is absolutely one of them.
I agree.
This is an all-time great.
You see a bunch of the characters, too.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but you do see plenty of them. So it introduces you to them. The jokes are great. The episode is timeless.
Yeah.
It'll work anytime.
It will. It really will.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. You know, other than that, hope you all enjoy this one as much as we do.
Yep. And don't forget to follow our official show Instagram. That's official_Homers_donuts without the apostrophes. We post memes there. You guys have a suggestion on how we can improve the show for you. Go ahead and leave us a message there, and we'll try it out. And if it works, we'll name the little segment after you.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Yep.
Let's see. Give us a rating. Give us a follow. Mm-hmm. All those good things.
All those good things. Right. It just makes it easier for other people to find our little podcast here. Mm-hmm. And until next week, au revoir, suckers. Mm-hmm.